Hello, hello, good morning. In this episode, I talk to Leo Farias. Welcome to the Flutter 101 podcast, a podcast focusing on Flutter and Dart. My name is Vince Varga, and welcome to the show. In this episode, my guest is Leo Farias. Leo is the creator of the widely popular open source tool FVM. FVM stands for Flutter Version Management, and it is, in my opinion, an essential tool in every Flutter developer's tool belt. It facilitates switching Flutter versions quickly, as well as pinning the Flutter version that should be used for a project, which is especially helpful when working on teams. We talked about what motivated Leo to build FVM, we talked about FVM's features, and the differences between the various installation options for FVM. We also talked about Sidekick, a desktop app written in Flutter to enhance the Flutter development experience, and it is available on Mac, Windows, and Linux. We also talked about Leo's experience with Flutter on desktop. So, let's get started. Welcome, Leo. How are you? Thank you for joining us today.
Hey, Vince. I'm good, and thank you very much for having me.
I wanted to ask you, before we get started, could you please introduce yourself? How did you get started in software development, and how did you find Flutter?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I started software development young age, you know, when I was around 13 or so, you know, loved graphic design, always wanted to get into animation, right? And games and trying to work on mods and things like that. So that was my first, let's say, look behind the curtains of, you know, software. And I was, you know, even a freshman year of high school, United States, that's around 14 years old, I started freelancing with web design, doing a lot of the front-end side. But one thing that very quickly I found out is I was very limited from a creative side. If I could not take it through the whole implementation. So that's when I started to get a little bit into actual coding and development, taking a look at, you know, the first language I've ever been exposed to was C++, but the first language I, let's say, used completely was, you know, an application was Python. And I like to say that the first language I used for an actual job was PHP. And that was, you know, around 14, 15, I was already doing some freelancing. When I was 16, 17, we actually put a company together, which didn't turn out too well, with some friends. Finally, at 21, I co-founded the company that I'm actually currently in, and I was co-founded in 2006. So your audience can do the math together. And the goal for the company was to do, you know, web development, custom applications. Mobile development was just about to start. It was not something that was happening very often. And so my career as a development was a lot of freelancing and doing for fun until at 21 years old, you know, I co-founded Concepta and things starting to get serious, if you will. And I kind of grew as a developer within the company. And nowadays, Concepta has a team of around 45 people, and you know, we've been growing. I think it's great to see, you know, how a hobby can become a profession, if you will. But that's how I got into development, and that's how I continue to stay in development.
And how did you find Flutter?
So Flutter is interesting. So Concepta is a let's say a software development agency. So the problems and challenges that agencies try to solve, you know, we have to be very efficient with the technology we have. And out of Concepta, there was a spin-off startup called FinHero that came from it. And that was around 2016, 2015. And the initial version of the mobile application, it was almost like a app factory, right? So we had a template and we had to create. We worked a lot on the streaming side. You know, FinHero is still going really well. even though I'm not involved with it anymore. But we started having a lot of customers that were in Latin America and in places like India, right? So when you're in the United States, the great majority of, you know, you're working with, let's say, high-end devices, right? You're working with a lot of iOS devices. But when you're building these mobile applications for places like India and Brazil, you start seeing that you have to optimize a lot for Android devices, and sometimes they're not the latest and greatest hardware and software. So we've had already done a version of the app. We're working on the second version of the app, and we are working with React Native. And I like to tell the team is that everything looks good on paper, right? When you visit new technologies, like, okay, this solves all my problems. And React Native did a fairly good job initially, but there are things that were still very difficult, mostly from the tooling perspective on JavaScript. You know, the integration with the native side, it was not as stable. And also the performance on Android was not even close where, you know, it needed to be. So some things that, you know, the whole problem with hybrid technology is you do a list view and, you know, is the list view butter smooth? And it was a lot of work to get some of these things working correctly, right? So we are following, and I think that was probably a little bit close, 2017, 2018, we started seeing, you know, announcement of Flutter. And in the beginning, I was like, okay, here's another one, right? Like, here's another hybrid technology that solves all the problems. And we thought it was interesting, right? The approach to things where it's not really, you know, creating native elements. You know, let's say a native button on iOS, a native button on Android. It was more, you know, building the UI. So we thought it was an interesting, different approach to it. But then I think it was towards the end of 2018, we decided saying, okay, let's validate. Let's go ahead and run a POC and build a kitchen sink app on Flutter so we can, you know, put the sales pitch to the test. And that's what we started doing from the kitchen sink perspective. And right from the beginning, and let me know also if I'm getting in too much detail or getting sidetracked, but I remember the first experience on Flutter and actually writing Dart, right? At the time we were writing TypeScript code. So it was not a painful transition from TypeScript to Dart. And when we build in UI, our first experience is we initially built for iOS. And then we looked, okay, looks really good. Wow, this is fairly smooth. But let's go ahead and now build it for Android and see how it runs on Android. And we are thinking about, okay, here's something that's going to take, I don't know, like a couple of weeks, and then we're going to have to optimize. So we went ahead and compiled on the, you know, crappiest Android device we had, a small screen device, and it just worked beautifully. And it was the first experience of the whole, let's say, write once, run everywhere promise. A lot of people say they can do it, but Flutter, in my experience, and I feel confident saying that I've tried them all, is the first one that actually delivered on that. Right, no conditional, no extra optimizations. It just ran how it was, you know, like we're running on another iOS device, and it worked really well. So we decided to move forward building the second version of our application using Flutter, and of course, things, you know, it did this really well. Let's say the happy path. But there was a lot of things lacking even in the beginning, right? So, for example, when we started implementing Flutter, we had a module internally that we could deploy these almost like web applications or web integrations within our app. And we had to build that with Flutter. And at the time, Flutter didn't even support the platform views, right? So we didn't have web views. We were a streaming app. and we relied a lot on video player, right? So the video player, Flutter had a video player, but it was not where it needed to be, right? So that's how we got involved with Flutter, was through Fin Hero and, you know, trying to solve the problem of you know, building high performance apps on all types of devices, you know, including low-end Android devices.
Okay, awesome. And you mentioned that you used TypeScript before, and then you switched to Dart. And I hear a lot of people mention that, okay, I wish Flutter was written in Kotlin, or I wish Flutter was written in Swift. How do you find Dart so far?
The first accent, I think Dart today is a much better version of Dart than it was even 2 years ago. And I don't have a lot of experience with Kotlin, but I think TypeScript has probably a lot of flexibility because the way it works. And there's a couple things that I felt were a little bit painful on Darts initially. First is, if you're jumping from TypeScript to Darts, Darts is a less flexible language or forgiving language, right? You don't have things like data classes. You don't have things like union types. You know, we didn't have the, you know, nullable types. And this created, I think, a little bit of a painful implementation, and you had to create an extra, let's say, boilerplate code. So Flutter by itself, I think it leans towards having being more verbose. And when you start adding, you know, every time you need to pass, let's say, a value, you have to, you know, create a class and you know, you always have to do null checks and stuff like that. I think it became a little bit error prone. And they've, I like to say the joke that I think the Dart team is reading my diary because it's everything that I wish Dart had, either they have implemented now or it's within the roadmap. So it's more strict Dart than something like TypeScript, but you know, that's where you get the benefits, right? The performance by being compiled, and you know, a lot of the things that it does really well. So that was the initial, it was a positive experience with Dart. Now, when you're switching between Dart and TypeScript, it becomes this, you know, weird, because they're close enough where you think you can just reuse both, but there's a few, you know, different approaches to certain things that people need to be aware. But, you know, I'll tell anyone, if you don't want to develop Flutter apps because, you know, for you is another language, I think is, if you're coming from TypeScript, I think it's a fairly easy transition. If you're coming from JavaScript and you never developed in TypeScript, then I think it's a little bit more painful transition. But I think it's still, you know, fairly close the way the, you know, at least the high level behaviors, the way they work.
I really like Dart, and I think it improved so much in such a short time that I always liked Dart, in a sense that I think it's very simple and it's very easy to learn. So I also liked Dart. I wanted to ask, so basically the reason why I really wanted to talk to you and the reason why I invited you to the podcast is because you are the author of the FVM package, the Flutter version management package. Could you tell our listeners what this package does, and could you tell our listeners what this package does?
Yeah, absolutely. So FVM stands for Flutter Version Management. Very creative name, I like to say. But you know, I like when the name just describes what it does. And that the reason it exists, it goes a little bit into the what we were just talking about, right? So when we started building the Flutter app in, I think it was towards the end of 2018. That was before Flutter 1.0. And Flutter was moving very quickly. As I mentioned, we didn't have platform views at a time, and there was a lot of missing features. And from the get-go, we started seeing that we were a bit all over the place when it came to SDKs, right? Because we wanted to use stable, but our requirements were so close to, let's say, the Flutter roadmap at that time, that we had to keep switching to beta if we wanted to have something a little bit more stable, or just develop a new master, right? And so that's one thing we, part of our workflow, it was a little bit all over the place when it came to the SDKs we're using, right? Sometimes we had to test that something was working, and we had to do a master, and then when we finish a particular functionality that it could work on stable, we could deploy on a separate SDK. And even to this day, especially at the time, but switching between SDKs was something very inefficient, right? Essentially, I think everyone that works with Flutter is aware, but you have to essentially re-download SDK, rebuild SDK, and sometimes it was just to validate or test one little thing, right? And then you have to, you know, switch it again, and that process, you know, can take a few minutes, and it becomes a little bit challenging for you to, you know, let's say, be efficient even with a team, right? When you're by yourself, I think it sometimes it's a little bit easier, but even sometimes we could send builds that other developers had to finish functionality or QA had to test, and it was this whole thing, oh, the build is not compiling. And it's like, okay, are you running on master? Are you running on dev, on beta? So we had a lot of these conversations happening internally because where we were on development, I think where Flutter was also. And I think we can talk a little bit about how that changes as Flutter becomes more stable. And I think a few things change. But I think there's, you know, let's say new challenges are created, right, as Flutter becomes more stable. So that was a little bit of the initial, let's say, pain points that we were having. And we were working a lot of internal tools, and I was working, you know, exploring internal tools. And we are validating Go as a language on the server side and some of the tools. So when talking to our lead developer on the Flutter side, he mentioned that, you know, this is very painful. And I'm like, there must be a solution for that. So we investigated a little bit, saw that channels didn't really solve the problem. And the first version of FVM was actually written in Go. And the goal was just to download, set up, and cache a Flutter SDK so you could switch it. And, you know, next time you switch it, you didn't have to re-download it and rebuild the SDK, right? So the initial goal was just to remove the initial time for you to switch between SDKs.
Before we go into details, could you please explain again, like, what happens when I install Flutter? So, like, it checks out like any Git tag, or how does that work? So what happens when I install a new version of Flutter?
Yeah, so when you install a new version of Flutter, the process is fairly simple. And kudos to the Flutter team, because I think that it makes things very flexible. But essentially, you're cloning a repository, and if you're cloning a specific channel, essentially you're cloning a branch of that repository. And once you run the SDK, it goes ahead and starts to build all the dependencies, right? You know, the SDK that is needed, and building, you know, the Android tools that it needs, the iOS tools that it needs. So essentially you clone a repository channel, and then you run a setup process, if we will, which it goes ahead and downloads, you know, it's actually downloading tooling from maybe different repositories, different commits and things like that, and putting everything together. So it's not just what's in the repository, it's actually the repository plus any references to other tools.
Then how do I use FVM? So what are the features of FVM?
So FVM has morphed into a lot extra things. And again, the problem is the same, but I think is the need to have a more integrated workflow. That's where some other features, you know, come in. So initially, FEM is essentially, can I have a stable master dev and beta channel installed on my machine and just switch in between? So that's the initial workflow. So to do that, I had essentially the whole workflow of cloning one branch, if you will. I had to do this for multiples and have a mechanism into having the Flutter CLI reference which channel I wanted to use. So next time I switch between the channel, it's just referencing, let's say, the SDK in a different place, right? So that was, you know, initially, not initially, but today, that's what FVM still does. So whenever you run FVM and you do FVM install, it's actually following very closely the same way Flutter suggests you install. But the only difference is actually caching in a separate directory and has tools around referencing and switching between that cached SDK, right? So it doesn't really modify the Flutter SDK. It doesn't, you know, override Flutter SDK functionality. It's more of a CLI that it just allows you to manage. And nowadays, for example, FVM allows you to set up per project, right? So you can have a different Flutter SDKs per project. And you can just pretty much switching between projects, just run the CLI like how you normally would, but you always running an SDK that is compatible with that project that you're interested in. And we can get a little bit into other features. There's a lot of things on the CI side. There's a lot of, let's say, custom workflows that we start seeing other people coming up with. But on the simplest form, FVM just caches the SDKs and it has a API that allows you to switch in between them.
Okay. And you mentioned that the earlier versions of FVM were using Go. And now that I checked out the repository, I see that it's using mainly Dart. So what changed between, like what changed since then that you decided that, okay, Dart is good enough for this problem and you don't need to use Go anymore?
So the initial scope of the CLI was, let's say, much smaller, right? Which is just pretty much caching and switching in between. So, you know, I'm a big fan of using the tool that you know best at the time. And at the time, you know, I had a good grasp of Go on the CLI side. It made sense to do, let's say, a proof of concept. I don't remember exactly when I switched to Dart, but I don't think it was as soon as, I think, let's say, people started using outside of the company. That's when switching to Dart makes sense. Not only because it allow for better, let's say, transition between, you know, any FVM logic and Flutter logic, right? Because then you can start looking to how Flutter tools are doing certain things and leveraging certain, you know, packages and libraries that are made to solve, let's say, problems within the Dart ecosystem. So that decision was fairly easy. I'll say that the initial Go version was more of a POC. And I think once the package got rewritten in Dart, that's when it started to, let's say, take off and people started to use it because, you know, I think is the community, right? People were able to contribute a little bit easier. The Flutter community was able to contribute and, you know, make improvements. And I think, you know, we have a lot of contributors that have helped with certain things. And I think that Dart had the impact. And I don't think FVM is a performance thing. And I think Dart allows you for that, you know, allows to have more than enough performance that FVM needs, especially with the, you know, the AOT compiler, right? So the native compilation, I think that's a great tool to have, things with like isolates and so on. But, you know, even today, I think that Dart is a great CLI language, period. I think it's clean, it's useful, and I think there's a lot of the performance benefits where it gets into the good enough category that is worth leveraging the same stack across multiple, you know, different problems, if you will.
Okay. And you mentioned custom workflows. So what I know FVM for, so the way we use it at the company that I work for is that basically we have the FVM config JSON, and there we store the Flutter version that we want to use because that basically prevents that different people have different Flutter versions installed on their computers, and then all kinds of, this prevents all kinds of problems. And also it's helpful for like basically having that in the build process. And especially, I think that that is especially helpful when we update Flutter, because then basically you can start using a new version of Flutter with the rest of the company without having to waste time thinking about Flutter versions. And you mentioned basically custom workflows. So could you, so I believe our use case is very, I don't know, simple or basic. Are there any custom workflows that you could share with us that FVM enables?
Custom workflows, I think you can also narrow down to more of developer preferences sometimes. And, you know, as you know, developers are very opinionated about their tools. So one of the things that FVM, as soon, let's say, people started using it, right, and they're approaching this and say, okay, I need this, but I need to use it, and I want it to be integrated. You know, I want it to be seamless. So there's a lot of things that FVM needed to add to support IDE, right? So Visual Studio Code, Visual Code and Android Studio. And also, even implementations from, we have, nowadays, for example, you don't actually have to pull a specific channel. You can actually pin a version number, right? Which is normally what we suggest. So whenever we have an app that is being built on the CI in stable, we don't use the stable channel. We tend to pin the stable version until, you know, QA has a chance to run again. So we have a little bit more control over that. So you can pin the actual SDK version. So, you know, for example, you know, 2.2, right? So that's the version we built, is always consistent and so on. FVM also allows you to even pull a commit. So you don't, you can pull a channel from the Flutter repository. You can pull a version tag, but you can also actually pull a commit. So if you want to test a commit that was done on the Flutter repository, or you're working with your own, let's say, Flutter fork or your own custom version, FVM allows you to do that. So you can actually pass the commit number, and Flutter will install the Flutter version. FVM will install the Flutter version for that commit, you know, seamless. And there's a lot of things when it comes to CI side, or, you know, some people are running on a repo. Some people, so, you know, if you're running on a repo, you have to do a couple, few things different, which FVM supports. There's a lot of, one thing that people started requesting, especially if you're working, let's say, on a place that has lower bandwidth access, is, you know, I would like to cache, but I would like to take it with me. So I like to cache FVM on a SD card, on a memory card, and take it with me. That means that I like to cache FVM on a separate driver, or, you know, people want to override the Flutter repo to their fork, because, you know, in their company, they're actually maintaining a fork of Flutter, not Flutter itself. So there's a lot of these things that start to, let's say, to come up, that, you know, it needs to support. VM, you know, needs to support, because, you know, that's the tools that people are using. And especially across, you know, Windows, Mac, Linux, you know, there's a lot of, you know, even nowadays we have Windows and people are using different, you know, let's say terminals, or sometimes they're running Linux within Windows. And so these things, it becomes a little bit of this, you know, also becomes a little bit of a decision to make, like, how much of this should FVM solve and how much of this should Flutter solve, right? So one thing that I've been fairly opinionated about is drawing the line of things that I don't think FVM should solve, because, you know, we're trying to compensate for something that Flutter should be able to do. And then you get into dictating Flutter behavior. So anything that essentially you're overriding or changing Flutter behavior, what is expected Flutter behavior, normally I try to not add to FVM, and I try to tell people to, you know, maybe it's a separate tool, separate CLI, or maybe that's a pull request to the Flutter repository. But there's a lot of different workflows, which I'm very surprised, especially when it comes to CI.
And you mentioned monorepos. So how would FVM work with basically a monorepo in a Flutter setup? So how does FVM version lookup work? So if there are multiple different packages, maybe all of them use Flutter, and we have, for example, a main application that then depends on those packages, but everything is in, let's say, in one repository, and we want to use the same Flutter version on all of those. Does FVM support that, or would I need to create for every single package an FVM config file, or what happens there?
Yeah, so FVM has a little bit of a, I like to call, routing, right? So essentially, if you're running, if you have a monorepo with, let's say, multiple Flutter apps or Flutter packages, if you run, the order that routing work is, as soon as you run the, you know, FVM Flutter command, it will look to see if that particular project has an FVM config file. And if it does, it will give preference to that file. So we can actually have a package that has a different Flutter version from the, let's say, the monorepo itself, right? If the project does not have an FVM config, it will just look for an ancestor. So essentially going to the root of that repository, right? And see if the repository, the monorepo itself, has a config file. If it does, it will use it, right? So it's a very simple ancestor lookup. However, FVM allows you to set a global version. And a global version pretty much says, okay, I want to use this version for this project, but globally, right, if I don't have a config, FVM config in the project, I would like to always use stable, for example, the latest version of stable. So FVM allows you to set a global version. So essentially, if it cannot find a config file, it'll check if there's a global version configured. If there's a global version configured, we'll use that. If it does not have a global version configured, it'll try to run just what's configured on the path for Flutter, right? So essentially is, you know, if it's in the project, if an ancestor directory has it, if it's set up on global, or if it's configuring the path. That's pretty much the order of, let's say, the selection of the SDK.
Okay, and in the monorepo example, do I need to do anything special when I configure my IDE? For example, Visual Studio code, or JetBrains IntelliJ, do I need to do something special there?
Yeah, so if you're running Flutter to the terminal, the process is very straightforward. If you go to fvm.app, which is the documentation site for FVM, there is ways to configure and to take full advantage of the IDEs, where you can have all the IDE tooling also being switched dynamically. So essentially is, if I have a project running stable and I choose to switch it to, let's say, beta or master, the IDE tooling, debug tooling, and everything else becomes aware of it also. So there is some configuration that is done within the project in order to make that happen. And I think that for me is when, and that's implemented, you know, for a while. I think that was one of the first initial requests that we needed once we started using more and more FVM. But for me, that's when FVM became, let's say, part of the Flutter ecosystem, was when when it started to support the Flutter tools. So with the configuration, you can continue to dynamically switch, and IDEs will just continue to work with the one that is switched to. And also there is other ways that people choose to interact, where they want to use that VM just for caching the versions, but they, you know, they want to switch actually using IDE commands. So VS Code does allow you to pick from multiple versions. So there's a lot of, you know, FVM, I think, became a very robust solution for versions. And if you go to fvm.app, that's the documentation. You can start seeing, you know, we try to do the best possible to keep the documentation up to date and to make sure the documentation it's good. But you can start seeing, you know, some of the flexibility and some of the other workflows that FVM allows.
Okay. One more thing I wanted to ask, and now that you mentioned the documentation, I remember that in the installation, like the ways you can install FVM, like there are multiple ways to install FVM. So, for example, you can use the pub tool, so with global, like activate the FVM package globally. But you can also use package managers like Homebrew and Chocolaty, and I wanted to ask, do I need to worry about which one I use, or does it even matter? Or once FVM is installed, it is installed, and it doesn't matter how exactly I installed it.
So the reason for supporting other packages is because it's actually, let's say, a compiled executable. So that I suggest, if you can, for you to install using Chocolaty or Brew. I think that's where you get the best experience. And the reason why, and it's not a challenge with FVM, but it's I think is a ongoing communication challenge with the Darts and Flutter, which is a lot of people have Dart SDK installed, and also there's a lot of people that have the Dart version that comes with the SDK. With the Flutter SDK. And when you're running things like, you know, global install is essentially compiling with the version that, the Dart version that is on Flutter, right? So it's not an FVM problem per se. It essentially is when you're switching between Flutter SDKs, even if you're doing master to stable using the default channels, installing global packages can sometimes cause some, you know, let's say inconsistencies or snapshots where it says, hey, this the snapshot has changed, and it can give a few different little errors, right? So I suggest using the package managers. However, the documentation there is very clear, even on troubleshooting where things could be happening. But I think that the Flutter, I mean, I think there's a few issues in regarding that. To make that a little bit more transparent, if you update the Dart SDK, but you have a package that, you know, you need to run globally, but it was compiled with a previous version of the RCK, to either let the user, the developer know, or try to, let's say, recover somehow. But when you're running a package manager, it's not running Dart anymore. So essentially that becomes separate, right? And is abstracted from you. So that's what I suggest. I still use using the global command because, you know, I'm very aware of the flow. And I think the documentation is fairly good about that. But sometimes we have these challenges, right? People are switching from, you know, they have these global packages. They're running, you know, on version, let's say 1.22, and they're upgrading to, you know, the latest master version, which I think is like something like 2.4 or something. And sometimes they can say, oh, I cannot run this global package, I'm getting an error. And one of the reasons is because of the Dart SDK, if you will.
Okay, okay. And what were the steps that you had to do to get FVM distributable through, for example, Homebrew? So how does publishing through or via Homebrew work?
There is a package which is called CLI. It's called CLI package, PKG. You can find on PubDev. And I believe that package was initially created by the SaaS team at Google to deploy to these package managers. And that's what FVM uses. So essentially is when you're running the CI process, it will go ahead and, you know, build the GitHub release, right? So, you know, all the zip files and the source code is there. It'll go ahead and deploy on PubDev and also go ahead and you know, submit to Chocolaty, make an update on the brew repository, you know, configuration file. It does all that seamless. When I initially started using that package, I was not, the support for Windows was not there. So I was able to contribute a bit to get to, you know, where external packages could be deployed. So things are fairly automated now and it's very seamless. And I think they have great documentation nowadays, but, you know, I suggest anyone that is doing a CLI package in Dart, you know, to use something CLI underscore PKG. And it does a lot of that stuff, even which FVM doesn't do, but you can even have a package that gets deployed to NPM also. So it supports a lot of different package managers.
Oh, okay. That I didn't know that. There's also Sidekick, which I, if I understand things correctly, as a GUI, a graphical user interface for FVM as well. So could you tell us a little bit about Sidekick?
One of the things that I like about Flutter and Dart is I think the problem that they're trying to solve is, I think it's more interesting than a lot of people think. So for example, you know, you whenever you're on Twitter, you start seeing in articles about, you know, why Flutter is better than React Native, you know, why you should go native and not use Flutter and things like that. Which I think they're fair conversations to have. But I think the end goal, at least from my perspective and seeing the roadmap, what Flutter and Dart are, the problem they're trying to solve for me is a highly performant, unified UI. The closest we have to that right now is HTML, you know, JavaScript, CSS, right? So whenever you want to leverage code and business logic and deploy, you know, in different places, that's the stack you have to go, right? That's why you have things like Electron, right? Essentially, you're running these browser environments. I'm sorry if this is a little bit of a longer answer to the question. But I think the problem that they're trying to solve is a more interesting one, which is the unified, right? And I am a big believer, you know, I like to have tools and stacks that can do multiple things, right? So if I want to do a mobile app, I can do it. If I want to do a web app, it's there. If I want to build a simple API, I can do it, or CLI. So I'm a fan of having a particular stack that allows me to do these things. And before Dart and Flutter, your only option was using, you know, JavaScript, right? Some using Node, and on the mobile side, it could be, you know, like a web app, right? Or it could be something like React Native. And that promise of Dart is very interesting. So I started getting curious after building the mobile app and building the CLI. So I'm kind of going through and saying, okay, mobile app, check. CLI, you know, DevTools, check. And that's when the desktop was, you know, maturing a bit. And I said, okay, I want to validate this. you know, I wanna check what's the experience on that, and I wanna put it to the test. So here I am, built a you know, FVM to be used as a CLI, and now I want to embed it as a dependency in a desktop app and use it. So that's how it, you know, it started. It was more of a goal of, you know, I want to build a desktop app leveraging Dart. And with that, there's a lot of benefits, right? I love the CLI. I mean, I you know, I feel like the most efficient way to do certain things is through the CLI. But with things like GUI, you get visibility. Is you almost get this passive visibility on certain things that with CLIs you have to be a little bit more you know, explicit about, right? Show me this, what about that, right? When the GUI side, you can show, let's say, all the information, right? You can easily show, hey, here's the versions you have installed. Now this on Sidekick, you open up, you say, okay, here's the versions you installed. By the way, these versions are actually not used in any project. Do you want to remove them? Do you want to clean this up? Oh, by the way, here's all the projects they have set up and the versions that they are using. Or here are all the versions that you can install and their creation dates, and you know, you can download the zip. So there's a lot of, let's say, information that you can provide on the GUI side. And initially, it worked more of a, again, validation. I'm a big fan of just trying things out. And I started building on the Mac, right? And that's when I think the Windows version was about to reach, had just reached master. And Chris Sells had reached out and said, hey, we just about to hit, you know, a fairly stable version of Windows. And, you know, can you try to run, at the time it was on Sidekick, at the time we were calling FVM GUI, can you try to run this on Windows, right? And I'm like, okay, you know, I'm going to set some time aside to try to go through it and to make it work. And once I ran on Windows, the experience was the same as my initial experience going from iOS to Android was going from Mac to Windows. That just ran. And to this day, I have not made one change from a UI perspective on any version of the app from Linux to Mac and Windows. And things just ran from a visual perspective, you know, it ran really well. And of course, on the desktop side, there's like things like permissions and things like that, tweaks that more, especially on the VM side, because it's more, let's say, OS level that you have to tweak. But, you know, the initial experience of it was great. And, you know, I think, I don't know, like sometimes when going through this, I feel like the Flutter team, they're doing an amazing job. That's what I like to tell. They're doing an amazing job. And they don't oversell it, right? And that's one thing I, you know, I'm not a big fan of, like, technology is perfect. It does those things. Flutter is not perfect. But one thing that I think how Flutter presents itself is they don't oversell it. And, you know, I think they always set certain goals, and for most part, they over-deliver on those goals.
You also mentioned a collaboration with the Flutter team. So you mentioned that Chris Sells gave you the idea of trying out the FVM GUI, the Flutter Sidekick, to run it on Windows. And you also mentioned, like, for example, what I realized before I knew about FVM, that, for example, downgrading and upgrading Flutter versions were very painful. And, like, it sounds to me that FVM is now part of, like, it's a very popular tool amongst Flutter developers, and it's very essential, it's vital. How do you, or do you collaborate with the Flutter team on basically features, or how do you make sure that you don't step on each other's toes, or you don't basically, how do you make sure that you don't step on each other's toes?
I think that's a great question. So there's not a, so the Flutter team is, you know, very aware of FVM, and you know, sometimes we have items that get open even on core Flutter issues that reference FVM. And whenever people do that, I try to take a look to you know, sometimes be able to navigate if it's a Flutter issue, that because sometimes there are Flutter issues that FVM can aggravate, right? For example, if you have an issue that happens when you're switching between an SDK, like a major version of SDK to a minor version, it's not an FVM issue, but because FVM makes it so easy, it aggravates the problem, right? The problem becomes more obvious. And there was even a I think probably a month or so ago, there is a issue that comes up that initially was, you know, kind of considered an FVM problem, but after discussing with the, you know, within the issues and the FVM team, I think it's became a little bit more clear that this is more of an internal tooling item. So they are aware, there, you know, there's collaboration, there's, you know, FVM does depend on some, let's say, APIs, on at least SDK APIs. So, you know, whenever they make changes to it, or, you know, we have some downtime on some things, we had a few issues that let's say we were able to resolve. One of the challenges that FVM, the Flutter team, you know, has a lot on their plate, and we always, you know, everyone that helps with FVM, make sure that, you know, we are helping, not getting in the way, and able to move, let's say, the ecosystem forward, right? I do think that FVM solves a specific problem. And I'll give you one example of something that FVM does that I think maybe Flutter should do, and actually downgraded that, but FVM does it correctly. So there was one point that Flutter allowed you to, using the Flutter channels, to essentially pick a specific version, right? So you could go through and say, okay, I don't want stable, I don't want beta, I want version 1.22, I want version 2.03. And that's the version I want to use. So Flutter supported that functionality, and they actually removed it. They deprecated. And because the, you know, and FVM always allowed that functionality. So that conversation about why that particular item was deprecated sometimes doesn't get, you know, I try to do the best to follow it, but sometimes it doesn't get clearly communicated to all the, let's say, tools. FVM is not the only one. There is other, you know, tools that they you know, try to do similar things, and it doesn't get, you know, rolled out, let's say, for the community properly. So I think that there's probably some room for improvement there. But I think one thing maybe it can be done better is if FVM solves that problem, but it's something that should be solved in the Flutter SDK, to have that collaboration back, right? So, you know, nowadays, FVM is able to pin a SDK version, which the Flutter channels doesn't allow. And the way it does that is the correct way, right? So it's behaving like a snapshot in time. And that took a lot of, you know, support from the community, and also some conversations with the Flutter team to understand. But now it behaves correctly. So because FVM does that, and I think it's, you know, it's great that people depend on FVM, but I do think that there's some situations where this thing should be on the Flutter side, right? So be able to collaborate, let's say, bringing maybe even stuff from FVM as a light layer to Flutter SDK, I think it's something that can be done better. And it's probably something that, you know, we'll try to have some, you know, conversations on. It's to see how we could maybe better support these things, or understand the, let's say, the challenges or the opinions behind some of these problems, why they're not tackled. But I think there's definitely some room for better collaboration. But if you see the Flutter roadmap, you know, the you know, they're moving fast, and, you know, kudos to them. They, you know, be able to move, implement major things like, you know, notable no safety and major versions of the SDK in support to multiple platforms, and things are fairly stable, right? So they've been doing an amazing job. But there's definitely room for, let's say, better collaboration there.
Okay. Yeah, that's great to hear. I agree that I think the Flutter developer experience is, I think, the best I know so far, and it's true for Dart as well. I think the version management part was not so great, so that's why I'm very glad that FVM exists. And I don't know, I just hope that it will always work well together with Flutter. Just wanted to mention that. So basically, we talked about Flutter on mobile. We talked about Sidekick, which runs on Linux, Windows, and Mac. So on desktop, it runs on desktop. And we mentioned command line interfaces with Dart. Do you have any experience with running Dart on the backend? And if you do, how do you like it so far?
So, yes, I do a little bit. So I have a repository called Flutter Flat API. So pretty much is because I'm very interested into the development tools side of things, right? So for example, with Sidekick, with FVM, and there's some other projects there that I've been working around this tool space. I'm switching a little bit more into, let's say, now the building of the apps and the UI side, which we can talk a little bit more about. But I had the need to create these simple, let's say, static APIs, right? These things that I could just check. So for example, I want to check the Flutter releases, and update it and make sure that, you know, if the Flutter team has an API change or something like that, there's not a downtime. Or within Sidekick, I like to show the trending Dart repos from GitHub, but I don't want to have the GitHub SDK into Sidekick to make the request and do that. Or I would like to display the favorite packages, right? But the pub API is very simple and it doesn't support the aggregate data, right? So for example, the pub API supports just the name of the packages and you have to make another request to get things like likes, popularity, and so on. So essentially you have to create this aggregate endpoint. And I didn't want these API calls to be, you know, essentially is when I load a screen on Sidekick to make 30, 40 API requests. So there was a need to have, okay, we're going to create this simple, let's say static APIs, right? It's just going to go into make the API calls, cache as a JSON file, and we can just call that JSON file in the repository, right? So GitHub released a project called Flat Data, right? Which they have GitHub actions that support that. Essentially, as you're aggregating data and exposing through JSON files, and you can make it run every hour, 3 hours, every day, and so on. So I created this repository, which is just, I'm just throwing pretty much everything there when I'm tooling. So for example, nowadays it supports trending repositories from Dart on GitHub. It has all the releases for Mac, Windows, and Linux on Flutter. It has the top packages. It has the most liked pub packages. It has the favorite packages, right? So all these, let's say, aggregated endpoints are there. And that was my experience initially with the backend, if you can call that. So it runs a Dart server, but essentially it spins up a GitHub action that launches the server locally on the GitHub action, and it just calls the API to create that. So it's a full server that only runs on interval within GitHub action. And I mean, the experience is great. I think I love the idea of using Dart, you know, everywhere, especially if you have these simple use cases and these simple APIs. I have not built a full-fledged, you know, application, with authentication and a lot of different business logic using the Dart. The only thing that sometimes I see is that as the Flutter environment becomes very mature, there are some packages that I feel like are needed on the, let's say, server side for Dart. They are not there yet. And I think it's because it's Dart on the server side is, you know, I think the Dart team is becoming more and more involved, right? They did the you know, the Dart functions, right? The cloud functions and things like that. But I don't know what the experience looks like for you to do a full-fledged, you know, production application, just server side. But I can tell you that if you need a quick API, quick integration, proxy requests, and things like that, it works extremely well.
Okay. So Flutter flat data is just to, I don't know. I would like to understand it better. So what happens is there is a GitHub action that is basically spinning up a Dart program that fetches all the data from pub.dev that you need in Sidekick and then publishes that on GitHub pages, or did I understand it correctly, more or less?
Yeah, so if you go to github.com/leoafarias/flutter_flat_data, so I say Flutter and data, unofficial flat data API. So essentially you have a you know, a function like a shelf, like simple shelf server side with some API requests. And if you go to the GitHub actions there, it's using GitHub flat data, which I think is a very simple project, but it's an extremely powerful tool because it allows you to run these workflows, right? For example, I don't need a Dart API that is always online. I need a Dart API that runs every so often and creates these static payloads, right? So that's what I'm using for. So if you go to flat data, you can see a lot of the JSON files there. Let me see here. So for example, nowadays, it has a JSON file for Flutter releases, Flutter favorites, GitHub Dart training repos, daily, weekly, monthly. It has Flutter favorites. So for example, if you use that Flutter favorite endpoint, it's actually a better endpoint than pub, right? It shows the Flutter favorites plus all their likes, the descriptions, the pub spec, right? And also recently updated packages, recently created pub dev packages, most popular and most liked pub dev packages. So essentially is a Dart server side that only runs on a schedule through a GitHub action. And instead of serving these endpoints, it stores the responses as JSON files that can be called, right? So it's used within FVM to get the releases, and is also used within Sidekick, you know, in order to be able to do some of these things.
Oh, okay. That's very interesting. I didn't know about, I don't know, GitHub flat data or, but it makes a lot of sense for your use case, and it's very, I'm glad I learned it. okay, then I think it's time to wrap things up. Is there anything else you would like to mention?
No, I think, just I appreciate again the time to be invited here. I really love where the Flutter community is going. I'm working on a few different projects around tooling, and we're always looking for collaborators on certain things, and you know how we can bring the community a little bit closer, right? So if you're interested in collaborating on things like FVM or Sidekick, or you want to know a little bit more about, you know, this flat data project, or and you know, some of the other, let's say, packages and projects that I'm working on, you know, feel free to you know, add to the conversation. More and more, I see that the focus that I'm stumbling upon is this Flutter tooling side, and that's all my projects are, these projects that I'm exploring are towards. And there's one project that I just mentioned that I'm currently in experimental stages, but it's there. It's called Mix, and you can read about it. It's, you know, maybe you can link on the show notes, but the goal for Mix is to create, you know, to make much easier to build design systems in Flutter. And it's currently in experimental stages, similar to how IVM was in the beginning or Sidekick was in the beginning. But we're getting good results as we're exploring the, you know, building design systems with Flutter is making things much easier. Yeah, so I invite everyone to check it out also.
That sounds very interesting. And where can our listeners, I don't know, follow you on? So on which social platforms are you active?
Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/LeoAFarias, and also GitHub, github.com/LeoAFarias. And you can, you know, find there to the projects I worked on. And, you know, I like to tweet about Flutter, the dev side, and also some, you know, let's say technical leadership and technical decisions and things like that. So, yeah. It's fun to be part of the community, and I appreciate you know, the invitation again.
Okay, yeah, I really appreciate you coming on the podcast. I think it was a, I don't know, I learned a lot, and now that I see the Mix repository, now I think I would, I will probably invite you again to talk more about the how the Mix project is going. I think it also looks very promising. Yeah, then again, just wanted to thank you again for joining and coming and talking about FVM, Sidekick, and your experience with Flutter. Really appreciate you coming on the podcast, and also, of course, all the work that you put into these different projects. I think that's obviously also very important. Then I think that's everything from my side. Thank you for joining.
Thank you.
Then bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please do me a favor and recommend the episode to your friends. Both online and in-person recommendations are appreciated. So share either on social platforms such as Twitter and LinkedIn, or just mention the podcast to your coworkers and software developer friends. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so that you don't miss the next episode. The podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and many others. You can also listen to the podcast directly from your web browser on flutter101.dev, that is flutter101.dev. You will also find an RSS feed there. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, please rate and review. It only takes a couple of seconds and can help the podcast reach a bigger audience. Have a great day and see you next time.